Now, as we continue with our studies in the Gospel according to John, I want to take my reading today from chapter 6 and beginning to read at verse 22. John chapter 6, verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one wherein his disciples were entered, that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping, and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth, unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son, and believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, as we turn again to Thee, we do so in humility and with all reverence. We thank Thee again for Thy Word and the plainness of the Word. We thank Thee, O God, for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the message that He brought to mankind, for the death that He died on Calvary, for the salvation he has provided. No, God, we pray that today some poor struggling soul may find the Savior and may be found by the Savior. O God, hear us now and bless every listener. May thy Son be glorified in the ministry today for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now here we are again looking at chapter 6. In our last study, we were looking at the force that was frustrated and the fear that was removed. Now, we come to this particular section today, and I want first of all to draw your attention to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ gives a rebuke concerning the false interests of these people. Now, there was an experience of disappointment. We pointed out in our last study how that when they saw that the Lord was able to provide food for a great multitude, they said, My, this is the man we need as a leader. This is the man who should be our Messiah. This must be the prophet. Let us make him a king. And while their conception of him was correct, the idea of carrying it out was wrong. It was not God's way. Now, we've got to be very careful lest we try to do God's work in our way. We want God to do everything the way we want it done. That was not God's way. The Lord Jesus Christ had to engage first of all as a priest in the presence of God, interceding for his own. But the multitude were disappointed. Oh, what an experience of disappointment. They had considered the idea of using force to establish the kingdom, but now they cannot find the king. I ask you in all fairness, how could you have a kingdom without a king? They can't find the king. You know, that's the trouble today. A lot of people would like to inaugurate some kind of utopia. Men have been talking about this for a long time. There was one man who suggested that after World War I, what they should do was let every man have an acre and a cow. Let them all dwell under their own vine, so to speak, and that would be the answer to the world's problems. It didn't work out that way. It was supposed to be a war to end war, but wars have been going on ever since. Men have spoken about new deals. They've spoken about new frontiers. They're speaking now about new beginnings. My friend, everything that man tries is sure to be marked by failure unless Christ is in the very center of it. You cannot have a kingdom without a king. The world will never have peace as long as it rejects the Prince of Peace. And remember, the world rejected the Prince of Peace and put him on a cross. Here was the experience of disappointment. They wanted to force this man to be the king, and they couldn't find him. How can you have the kingdom without the king? But now there comes a point here where there is the exposure of wrong desires. The Lord tells them here, as it were, do not spend all the energy of your being in order to obtain material things. For these things cannot satisfy the needs of the soul. You see, when they found him, he begins to speak to them. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Notice how the Lord can penetrate right to the very thoughts and intents of their hearts. The Lord can see beyond the exterior thing. They saw the miracles, that was true. But because they saw the miracles, they want to make him king. But he says, this was the reason. The reason you want to make me king is not so much because of the miracle, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. You see, what they wanted was the material thing. And so they thought on the supply that he could give. But the Lord Jesus Christ is exposing here the wrong desire. I suppose we should all turn this into our own hearts today, and we should let the searchlight of God's truth penetrate to our conscience, touch the heart, make us think. Is it possible that we also are like these people, and we've got wrong desires? Is it possible that we've got wrong motives in life? And if so, my friend, that may be why there's so much failure. After all, we must have the right motives. And the prime motive in life should be the glory of God. What is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God. And the trouble today is we're not glorifying God. Here then was the exposure of wrong desires. First of all, you're only out for material things, says the Lord. And remember, these material things cannot satisfy the needs of the soul. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Remember, my friend, material things in themselves do not bring satisfaction. Of what does a man's life consist? It consisteth not of the material things, that is obvious. For the material things that we have today, we can lose them tomorrow. Metal things can rust, and then the things that we wear can be moth-eaten. Treasures can be stolen, and so on. The material things don't last. Therefore, we ought to go in for the right things. In verse 27, he gives them an exhortation. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Here is the exhortation to right desires. See, notice now how these people had the experience of disappointment. They were unable to achieve their objective. And the Lord shows them why. There's the exposure of wrong desires, wrong motives, wrong ideas. Now he gives them the exhortation to right desires. The meaning of verse 27 simply seems to be this, that one should be in real earnest regarding spiritual things and the obtaining of everlasting life. Let me ask every listener today, what is your objective in life? Are you in real earnest regarding spiritual things? There's so many people who only want to be religious at certain times of the year. Oh, they wouldn't miss the Easter service for nothing. In fact, some of them would even get up at 5 o'clock on Easter Sunday in order to be at the sunrise service. They think they've done God a great honor if they attend the sunrise service. Or they wouldn't miss the Christmas program for nothing, especially if one of their family is taking part in it. So they must be at the Easter service. And there must be at the Christmas service. My friend, let me ask you, is that your only objective in life? Or are you in real earnest regarding spiritual things? Do you enjoy being in a prayer meeting? Do you enjoy listening to the ministry of the Word? It's time, my friend, we need revival, true revival, a turning back to God. He gives us here an exhortation then, don't labor for the meat which perisheth. So many of us have got to put in so much time just for the material things. Oh, my friend, there are things that are more important. And the important thing is this, it's that which endureth unto everlasting life. That's the desire that is right. We should desire these things. Now notice as he moves on from there, having given to them the rebuke concerning their false interest, he turns over now to the real thing, and he gives a revelation concerning facts to be believed. First of all, there are certain facts concerning faith in Christ. That will be found in verses 28 and 29. Their question displayed the confused thinking of the natural man. The Lord's answer declared the one essential requirement of God. In verse 28, they said this, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? He was confused thinking of the natural man. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? There are so many people who are just like that crowd of people that day. They want to be able to work something so that God himself will show them some favor. And friend, let me remind you that you cannot work for salvation. For the Bible declares that by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Some people want to perform some great work so that in the end they'll be honored for it. And God will give them some place in his heaven because of the good people they've been. Oh, my friend, let me remind you of the Lord's answer here. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. You see, here is the requirement. The first requirement from God is faith in Christ. Why do you talk about working before you exercise faith in Christ? You must first of all receive Christ as your Savior before you can serve Him. You'll never be saved by works. Many of you listening to me know that. The fact of the matter is that the first step in the spiritual life is the exercise of faith in Christ. That we might work the works of God, they said. Jesus said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom God has sent. Now may I remind you once more that John is writing the whole of this gospel that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. Why is it that so many people want to engage in religious service without first of all accepting Jesus Christ as Savior? The first essential is that you must believe in Him whom God has sent. But now again we go a little further. There is Christ's reception of all those who came to Him and who are coming to Him. He who comes to Christ can rest assured that he will be welcome. Just as the prodigal was received by his father, so Christ receives all who come to him. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? And they go on to speak of the manna. Now then, they're going to argue with him with regards to the manna. And they said, Moses gave our fathers this bread from heaven. The Lord Jesus said, no, it was my Father that giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. See, they wanted to take up a religious argument here. They wanted to argue from their past history. They wanted to argue about the great man that Moses was, Moses the lawgiver. It was Moses who brought their fathers through the wilderness. It was Moses who gave them the manna in the wilderness. He said, no, it was my Father that gives you the true bread. And the true bread is he that cometh down from heaven, and he who giveth his life unto the world. And at that point they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And then here is comes the great revelation. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye may, that ye also have seen me and believe not. Now, let me remind you for a moment or two, my friend, that right here the Lord Jesus Christ is showing that he is the true bread. Now he's also showing them this, that this is a spiritual thing. Now see how simple he makes the whole thing. He has talked of believing in him, that you believe on him whom he has sent. And some will say, well, how do you believe? My friend, listen. When you're hungry, do you know what it means to sit down and eat? Do you know how to eat food? Of course you do. You just partake of it. There's a participation. We mentioned that in connection with the feeding of the 5,000. There was a personal participation. Right here, he's telling us the same simple thing. Just as you know how to eat bread, so in like manner, spiritually, you accept Christ. Now, this is not talking of the communion, by no means. A lot of people have gone to communion. They've partaken of the emblems at the communion, and they should not have done it, because they've never received Christ as Savior. Now he says in verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Plain words, all that the Father gives to him shall definitely come to him. It's the Father who gives, and the sinner comes, and Christ receives them. Now a lot of people speak a lot about receiving Christ. It's perfectly true. That's one aspect of salvation. But there's the other side to it, and that is Christ receiving me. See, so many people are not sure of their salvation when they only look at the one side. and they think, oh, my salvation depends on the fact I receive Christ, and they go no further. If they look over the other side and see it's Christ receiving me, if Christ has received me, then I'm secure, and secure for all eternity. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And if you say, well, how do I know that the Father has given me to him? You come to him and you'll be sure. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And watch, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I care not who you are, my friend, or where you may be at this time. I'm not concerned with your circumstances right now. I'm concerned with this. No matter who you are, what your age may be, what your circumstances may be, or where you are as you listen to my voice now, you can come to Christ, and he's given you this promise. If you'll come to him, he'll receive you. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He'll not cast you out when you come, and he'll never cast you out after you come. If you're in Christ forever. Yea, forever is the word. Nothing can the ransom sever, not divide them from the Lord. You see, not only is there Christ's reception of all those who come to him, but there's Christ's preservation of all whom he has received. There is the possession of eternal life now to be enjoyed. There is promise that he will never cast out any whom he has received. There is the prospect of sharing in the resurrection in a coming day, for notice what he says. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. So if you're in Christ, my friend, you have the possession of eternal life now. You can enjoy that to the full. You can rest upon this promise that once in Christ forever, he will never cast you out. So he said. And if Christ was to cast out anyone whom he has received, then he would belie his own promise. And you know Christ will never do that. I will never cast him out. He goes a little further than that. And he says, I shall raise him up at the last day. There's the prospect of sharing in the resurrection in that coming joyful day when the Lord comes with trumpet sound. The dead in Christ shall be raised. We who are alive and remain changed and caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we be forever with the Lord. Oh, what a prospect for the believer. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Oh, may I ask every listener here today, do you know anything at all about these facts to be believed? The fact concerning faith in Christ, have you received Christ? The fact concerning the Father's promise. You see, they appeal to history and to the manners provided in the wilderness. The Lord spoke of the Father's provision of the true bread from heaven. Do you know anything about the Father's provision? The fact concerning the fullness of Christ. Christ's ability to fulfill the will of the Father. Christ's reception of all those who come to him. Christ's preservation of all those whom he has received.